What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Many of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, which is my effort to find the most interesting people in the world and sit with them for hours while I ask questions in an effort to learn. We have no advertisers on this podcast, so it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe to the show on your favorite audio platform, watch episodes on YouTube, and tell your friends and family about the podcast. My goal is to help millions learn from the world's most interesting people. So let's get into today's episode. John Shahidi is the president of Happy Dad, Nelk Boys, and Shots. In this conversation, we talk about how the Nelk Boys are taking over the world and how they make money, what the business is behind all that content. This includes the Full Send podcast, Steve Will Do It being banned from YouTube, how they got in touch with Elon Musk, and what exactly are the sales figures and the product plan for Happy Dad, one of the fastest growing seltzers in the world. I really enjoyed this conversation with John, and I hope you guys enjoy it as well. He's one of the greatest minds when it comes to scaling products, especially when a creator is providing all the distribution. Here is my conversation with John Shahidi.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
All right, guys, bang, bang. I've got John here with me. I thought a great place to start is last time we talked, you were doing nothing with Happy Dad, Nelk, anything. Mm-hmm. You guys have absolutely exploded onto the scene. And what I think is interesting is like there's a content story and then there's a business story. And everyone is very focused on the content because that's what you can see, right?
Yeah.
I care about the business. And when I see you or any of those guys posting and you're going to like a liquor store and there's literally a line out the door around the block, you know, there's cops there making sure that everyone's like staying in line, making sure they're getting in. People are signing all of the alcohol. Like this is a massive, massive movement in the business that you guys are building. How do you think about day one? You walk in and you're like, all right, we have to build a business here. Like, what do you think is the advantage that you have? And how do you think about which products to launch and then kind of like what to sequentially do from a business perspective?
Yeah. Well, I always say this, and this is pretty much a no-brainer. And, you know, but it does come down to the product being great at the end of the day. It's always has to start with that. And that's the advice I'd have to give anybody. It's like, no matter how big you are, how many followers you have, or how many connections you have with whatever retailers or whatever it is, if your product's not great, like people are going to give every product a chance once. If it sucks, they won't come back. Mm-hmm. We're going on to 2 years of Happy Dad now. Our rebuys are absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. We haven't launched a new state in 6 or 7 months. We're about to launch 5 new ones in the next 6 weeks, but we haven't launched any and our sales are still growing in the existing states because they're rebuys and we haven't even revisited those stores yet. So it's really the product. It has to start 100% with the product. And then, yeah, then there's a lot of other
stuff. But why Happy Dad, right? Like why is that the product that you guys were like, we're going to hang our hat on this and we mm-hmm. think this is the thing that we can build a big business around?
We want, you know, the seltzer business has been growing over the last few years. It's pretty much become a beer replacement. Mm-hmm. And Happy Dad, the way it was the branding, the marketing, or even this type of can that we use was really to target the male audience when it comes to seltzer consumption. Almost every single seltzer you see right now comes in a skinny can, multiple colors, you know, just going after, you know,
a different audience.
Yeah. And now, you know, and our initial, because, and it wasn't necessarily, oh, we need something for men. It was like our audience were men. The Nelk audience is men. 80% plus of the Nelk viewer across all socials are men. So we said, all right, what can we make for our audience that mm-hmm. will convert? What's funny is like females love Happy Dad. We could get into why. Like, you know, it wasn't our target, but, you know, I think because of the flavoring and the amount of carbonation, I could get into that, but, you know. And maybe even let you know that we're launching Happy Mom, but we'll talk about that. So because of that, but yeah, I think, really Happy Dad was, we want to go after the seltzer market. It's become a pretty much a replacement to beer, for all different types of reasons, from the taste to the calorie count, carb count. Now people are a lot more conscious of their health right mm-hmm. now. You know, I think a lot of different reasons post-pandemic, realizing that maybe the best, you know, solution to, you know, some of the, what happened with the pandemic was actually your health versus can't go down that rabbit hole of, you know.
Don't say it.
But, you know, but health at the end of the day, you know, health is wealth. And I, you know, and I think we all want to be healthy now. You know, yeah. I think we've learned over the last few years, like, got health as well.
And I think that the big narrative was Nelk had these amazing videos that were going super viral, this big audience. It reminded me a lot of like the Barstool audience early on when I was in college and in the Northeast. Like you just knew they'd show up for the blackout tour or whatever and like people would show up, right? Yeah. And these guys seemed to be able to say, hey, I'm gonna be somewhere. And the audience showed up, right? Like they were willing to go do that. They also were buying a lot of merch. And so usually those two, you know, data points tell you, hey, this is a real audience. It's really engaged. It really kind of subscribes to the lifestyle and the values and all that type of stuff. But they weren't monetizing any of the content as far as I understand, right? Like there weren't a lot of brand deals. They didn't have any ads from YouTube or any of that stuff. And it pretty much was just like a merch business attached to content. Is that like a fair way to evaluate what they were doing before you guys really got into a lot of the consumer goods?
Yeah, well, merch was a big part of their business because they were demonetized from YouTube during pandemic years, during 2020. They, you know, they were the ones that weren't refusing to not go out and party still, and they were still having gatherings and filming the gatherings, and they were demonetized by YouTube. But Nelk was a pretty big organization on the back end. You know, there's a couple dozen employees, so they had to figure out how to pay bills, and merch kind of became the pivot and focus. And you know, we say to this day is being demonetized by YouTube ended up being one of the biggest blessings because, you know, the merch revenue has been
exploded
30, 40X what YouTube revenue would ever be from an AdSense side. And then on top of that, brands are extremely afraid to work with creators. They've always been afraid. You know, just seeing what's happened over the years with different creators, which I've never agreed on why everyone was so angry at some of them, you know, and trying to cancel everybody. But the creators that have been canceled over the years, it's frightened a lot of brands. And that's also become a blessing in disguise because like brands have always been afraid of Nelk. And or all types of creators, but specifically Nelk. So that's where Happy Dads come in. It's like, all right, do we go and do a super small deal with Anheuser-Busch and try to explain ourselves and then be limited on the content, be careful of the content, or do we make our own brand, which
better decision.
Yeah.
And now walk me through operationally. One of the things that a lot of folks in the business world and a lot of investors are waking up to is these creator-led businesses basically did the business creation in reverse, right? Usually you build a product, then you go find the customers. Nelk and many others have basically found the customers first, and then they go and they're building the product. But building the product for many creators is actually a really, really hard thing to do. They don't have that skill set. They don't have the connections. They don't have the capital. They don't know who, like, am I going to have operate this thing? You obviously have been around for a long time. You've seen a lot of different businesses. And you have, not only are you well connected, you guys have access to capital. Like, you know, I think a lot of folks kind of say like, oh, John's there. Like, this has got a shot of actually working from an operational standpoint. How did you think about operationalizing it, right? Like just you showing up, you're not gonna do everything. So like, no. Do you build out a whole team? Do you go and you just like partner with somebody and it's your brand with their operations? Like how does that work?
You know, the one thing I've always been very good at is finding, delegating work and finding the best person and being able to hire and fire, hire and find the best person for any specific role. So, specifically with Happy Dad, obviously there's so many different sectors of our businesses. There's alcohol, there's merch, there's media with our podcast. But on the alcohol side, when the decision was made to make Happy Dad, there's this family that I know, the Boutow family, longtime friends of mine, been in the alcohol business for many years, but decades. I mean, the father, Keith Boutow's, you know, you know, they call him the godfather of the alcohol industry. Like, so went to straight to them and said, hey, listen, need to make an A-plus product. You know, I've got the platform, the Nelk Boys. We want to make a seltzer. We got the branding. We got everything. But we need the liquid to be A-plus. And they're like, say no more. And immediately started creating the flavorings. We did taste tests. And, you know, that's one thing that I've been really great at. And then now that's the beverage, that's the liquid. Now,
who gets final say on the taste test?
It's all of us. There's a group.
It's like consensus.
There's a group of about 7 to 10 of us, and it has to be unanimous. Mm-hmm. If one person doesn't like it, we go back. Mm-hmm. So it's sorry, Sam. We like it. You don't. Or sorry, Kyle. Or sorry, Joe Butow. It's everyone has to love it. That's why we go back and forth so much. If one person says, I'm not sure, we're going back. So, and I think that's been part of the Happy Dad success has been that too. But then, you know, there's that part. There's the liquid. Then there's liquid and manufacturing, right? Mm-hmm. From cans to breweries. It originally starts with flavoring, then breweries, cans. But now it's got to leave the brewery. It's got to go to different states. Mm-hmm. Every state, we have a different distributor. So I had to find someone to help me find the right distributors, the right partners. Mm-hmm. A lot of states in alcohol have franchise laws, meaning once you sign the deal with that distributor, you're in with them for life. Crazy law, by the way. crazy.
Obviously, you know, a free market principle, of course.
100-year-old laws, you know? So anyway, now we're like, all right, so if we're in with these guys for life, we got to be careful, because one is they got to be great. They got to make us a priority. Mm-hmm. They can't have a product by a competitor, because we'll be bullied. You know, if they carry, like, let's just say, I don't want to name any competitors, but we all know who the competitors are in the canned alcohol space. You know, if they say, like, hey, like these Happy Dad guys, you better shove them out. They're going to listen to the bigger guy, of course. Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, with distribution, you got to also say, like, all right, one day if a strategic partner wants to come into the business, do they like that distributor? Because you're in with them for life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's all those pieces we had to learn as well. So I had to bring in someone to help me learn that side of things. So I did that. Then that happened. And then there's now the retail side. It's all right, cool. All right, we got a great product. It's been shipped out to the distributors. How do I get Kroger's to care? How do I get Publix? How do I get Walmart? How do I get 7-Eleven, Circle K? How do I get them to care? So that was, you know, so I was able to go and pretty much help find best people. You know, there's the point A to Z is so long in alcohol, but that's something I've always been great at.
How much of the talent that you ended up recruiting, were you able to just go to them early on and say, hey, here's our idea. Here's, you know, the Nelk Boys, here's their audience size, like get on board, versus you had to kind of get things in motion and get some momentum. And then it was easier to convince, you know, some of these A+ people to come on.
I think I've been very lucky. And I've said this in a lot is I've always had this philosophy of life is long, not life is short. And I've built some really great relationships in the last 20 something years that I've been in business, where when I make these phone calls, almost everyone knows I'm a man of my word, and they'll give me a chance, whether it's pre-launch, shortly post-launch, whatever it is. You know, I could, with some of my friends, I've been very, very, very lucky with the friends and partners that I have, that, you know, I can make calls and everyone's going to give me a chance.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Is it just that you've been doing it a long time and you've been successful and kind of always done what you said, or is it something else?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a bridge burner.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not anything that I do is burn a bridge. I know, and I'm old, but I'm still young. You know, I'm 43 years old. I know when I'm 55 years old, I'm going to need to call you for something, you know, and I know when I'm 55, you're going to take my call, or vice versa. You're going to call me and I'm going to come through for you. You know, we're going to know each other in 12 years, you know? So that's why, to me, I'm also thinking my relationship with you, or my relationship with whomever, your brother, anybody, you know, we're still pretty young.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, people have a hard time thinking 5 or 10 years in advance, let alone if you're, you know, in your 20s.
Yeah.
Right. Some of these guys,
the Butows,
40, 50 years from now.
The Butow family I met in 1999. I met the new Butow family. Wow. 1999. Yeah. I was 19 years old at the time, maybe 20. 20 years old, I think I was at the time when I met them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met them so long ago. I was actually with them when 9/11 happened. We were literally watching TV together. Like, that's how long ago I knew them. Mm-hmm. So for me to
20 call years
them,
later, you call
yeah,
them.
For 20 years later, it's like, hey, listen, I know you guys are got all these partners, and you guys are doing these tequilas and vodka. I think they were part of the Tito's team, and I forgot the name of the tequila, but a big tequila. I actually had a business with them. We created an alcohol a long time ago, and the alcohol failed. And, you know, many know when a business fails, partners usually hate each other and don't ever want to talk to each other again. It's like, we still love each other and they still took my call. This was 15 years ago when we made that tequila that failed. 15 years later, they're still taking my call. So I think that's kind of the lesson for anyone in business is like, don't burn a bridge. Life is long. Life is not short. You know, when people say life is short, they're just like, dude, get whatever it takes. Go burn that bridge. Screw that person. You. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of proof now. It's like, you know, when Kyle or Steve or any of my partners calls like, hey, can you help get this? Can you help get this done? It's like, I think not, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but even like getting Elon Musk, you know, on.
How'd that happen?
I asked him twice. First time he said, maybe. Second time he said, sure. But that's a 10-year. Emailed him at the time. And then like, then I followed, the second time was a text. I was like, yo, you said maybe. You know, like
what? Like what do you say? What do you say in the text? Are you hitting Elon with like a "you up" text, or are you just like very specific? Hey, we're going to be in Austin. Here's the date and time. Can you do it?
No. He said if you're in Austin, or both. Try to be as specific as possible, but be short as well. I know I only have a few seconds of his time. But when I had texted him the last time, I said, hey, I think this is a great weekend to do this. At the time, the Twitter deal was kind of pending. I said, I'll stay away from any Twitter talk because there was like this talk of Twitter lawsuit and all this. We'll stay away from all Twitter talk. I'll give you final approval on the video.
I actually think that this is something that many people who aren't in the content creation business don't really understand. So journalists, there's no final approval, right? They're going to write their story. They're going to do their interview. They're going to kind of produce whatever content they are, and they go out with it. And they do their best for the most part to try to be accurate and try to get, you know, all the different perspectives and kind of, I think most journalists are trying to do the right thing. But when there is no final approval, like it just goes out. And a friend of mine recently, somebody wrote a big article about him and I texted him and he was like, I'm happy with how it turned out. Right. And so it was like kind of like you don't know until it's out and he read it and he liked it. Now, in podcasts and YouTube and all this stuff, what I've noticed is there are a lot of business leaders, a lot of investors, those types of individuals who are gravitating towards podcasts and YouTube style content because they do get to see it at the end. And I think that there's a difference between like what some people would refer to as like the gotcha journalism, right? Which hey, I'm trying to get you to say something that's bombastic so then I can twist it or whatever, versus like, we're going to talk about things today that are like non-controversial, right? And it's like, I want you to be able to feel comfortable to talk, right? And vice versa when you guys are doing those interviews. But how important do you think it is that you say to a guy like Elon, you get final approval?
It's very, you know, it's what's crazy what you're saying is it's very important because we offer it to every single guest. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is nobody's ever called us and said to take this out. Right. Because I think they feel so comfortable that they're just like not on the spot and they're not overthinking what they're saying because they're like, OK, at the end of the day, I'm going to have final approval. Yeah. But there wasn't a single thing, Eli. We didn't even talk about it after. We just went live. I think we went live like 2 days later. Like he never said, hey, I thought you said final approval. There was nothing. Sometimes we'll ask someone at the end. Like I remember we did David Portnoy and I texted him. I said, hey, anything that you want to take it out of that? And he said, no. Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll follow up and ask, but almost never has anyone ever told us, even though we've offered it. No one said, hey, take that one part out or whatever.
I always say that the people who ask for a bunch of stuff to be removed, we've had, I don't know, maybe at 1,200 episodes, maybe like five or six people who have been like, you know, literally one person one time was like, here's the timestamps. Can you take out this to this, whatever. And it's like, those are the episodes where you're like, look, it's already trending where if you're worried about it, you probably really weren't saying things anyways that were super, super interesting. And so, the more successful somebody is, the less likely I think they are to.
I can tell you right now, there'll be no changes required from this episode. There'll be none. If I said something wrong, that's on me. That's not your team's fault. That's my fault.
All right. So you guys do the Elon interview. What is that like? I mean, you guys are obviously you're all in there. Yeah. I think that you and kind of your background, your relationship, you've known him, right? All this stuff is very different than maybe like Kyle or any of the other guys. Like, what are they like before Elon comes in the room, right? What is that whole process like?
Well, it was I think a little nerve-wracking because it was supposed to be done the day before and there were some kind of like some hiccups and some issues with like different things that it didn't happen. So then the next day, actually, I didn't get a hold of Elon till like 3 p.m. the next day. So they were, you know, we had flown out. It was my brother's birthday the day before, so we had flown out and, you know, spent a lot of money last second to fly out, and I'm just sitting there. I took my wife with me at the time, so I'm just like, I had like some like emotional support, because I was just like, I can't let these guys down. Like, the whole team flew to Austin, because the last message you were asking, what the last message with Elon was, hey, I'm down to do it this weekend. And I said, where are you going to be? And he said, Florida or Texas. I was like, well, like, which one? Like, I didn't even know you go to Florida. I've never heard of Elon coming to Florida. I was like, you know,
coin flip.
Yeah. So I was like, which one? And I said, should we just book our flights to Texas? And he just wrote back, sure. I was like, okay. So then we just did that. This was on a Friday. I said, hey, we'll be there Monday. And he said, okay, some things happened Monday, couldn't happen. So then I said, hey, let's do it tomorrow. He said, message me in the morning. Message him in the morning, didn't hear back till like 3 p.m. And then he just wrote me like, see you at 9 p.m. tonight.
So 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, the world's richest man just rolls, what was it, like in a hotel room?
We had got a hotel room in downtown Austin. Yeah.
And so he just rolls in. Just rolls in. Just sits down and just records just a fucking podcast. Yeah.
He's like pulling up. I'm like, okay.
It's always so funny to me, right? Because you always remember, like, once you're around these folks, that like they are humans, right? They put one pant leg on at a time, like all the normal shit. Yeah. They text, right? Pulling up, like whatever. But from afar, right? Like, he's dealing with the Twitter stuff. Yeah. He's got somebody tracking his like private plane. Yeah. He's freaking out about, right? Like
launching all rockets.
Like all this crazy stuff that you got to deal with when you're the world's richest man and running all these companies. And then like you find time to, you know, go chill in a fucking.
He's the best, man. After that, like, he and I've always, and I was going back to the relationship. I met him in 2013. So this is now what we're talking about is August of 2022. So it was like 9 years after, like 9 years of me and him just kind of like, just kind of occasionally chat and ran into each other a few different times, mutual friends' birthdays. Actually, one time I was at a restaurant, he was there. We ran into each other. We were sitting next to each other, but you know, we just always kind of stayed in touch. But after then, like, he and I really stayed in touch. Like, you know, there's like, it's like kind of crazy now. It's like I talk to him weekly. Like,
really?
Yeah, all what different types of things. Usually Twitter. Usually Twitter.
Like, you like giving them like product tips?
Creators. Like he really cares about the creator space. Mm-hmm. And he really wants Twitter to be the greatest platform for creators. Mm-hmm. So he'll definitely call me on, we'll talk product a little bit. Mm-hmm. He knows like my background of like building the app 10 years ago with Shots. But I think more is like creators, like, you know, creators of all different worlds, not just YouTubers and influencers, mm-hmm. but like athletes and actors and actresses and musicians, you know, stuff like that.
One of the things I saw that he was talking about, I don't know if they're going to implement it or not, that I thought was a pretty interesting idea, is they're going to put ads potentially in the comments. And then the creator who creates the original post, right, could get a share of the actual ads in the comments. And, you know, it would be like the equivalent of YouTube throwing up ads in the comment section, and then you get a share of it. And I just thought, like, okay, whether that works or not, it's always unclear, right? You got to kind of test it, and they'll look at the data, and they'll decide whether it's worth shipping or not. But, like, man, they're thinking differently.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like they're willing to test some things that works, may though. Be taboo, right?
That model works. Snapchat does that right now with creators. They run ads in between stories on Snap, and they share that with creators, and it's very good money. So this, you know, obviously Twitter doesn't have stories. I do think, and I've told Elon a few times, I do think Twitter should bring back stories. Like, you know, if you remember, they had fleets.
Yep.
Just like was like X. I mean, even the name, like, what's a fleet? Isn't that when you buy a bunch of cars? Like, you know, like what you know, so like, but you know, just bring back Twitter stories and just call it Twitter stories. But, you know, but yeah, I mean, now, but the way they're doing it, because of the comments section, which is, you know, a lot of people read on Twitter versus just viewing, I think you'll get a lot of engaging people reading, and I think you could sell that engagement to advertisers as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, putting the view count alone, right, was a pretty big deal. Like, it definitely, I think, opened people's eyes to, like, hey, people may not be engaging, but they're here.
Yeah.
They're watching, right?
And I thought that was genius.
Yeah, I did too.
I know there was a lot of backlash in the beginning, but I thought it was genius. I hope that feature is here to stay. I think it's great. I actually messaged them that too. I said, hey, I think this is a feature that should be here to stay.
Yeah. Who are you guys trying to get on the podcast that you haven't been able to get yet? Is there like somebody who's like...
On the Full Send podcast? Because we have a few. We have the Pivot.
So on Full Send specifically, let's start there. because most people would think Elon would be like the top of the mountain, right? But you guys already got him. Is there anybody else that you guys are like, look,
we've this gotten really Elon, we've got Trump's been on there. You know,
well, he was on the podcast. I don't, the video didn't last long.
Yeah, yeah. I think 48 hours or 24 hours.
Did you know it would get taken down?
No.
No.
I didn't think it would.
So that one, even after you guys recorded, you thought that it was going to be fine.
Yeah. But someone from his team, a good buddy of mine who works for him, said, hey, this is going to be taken down pretty soon. Watch. And I said, why? He's like, because read all the comments. They're all positive about him. And because it's positive, it's going to go down. I was like, okay. And then, and you read, I mean, if you read, because we weren't going into that Trump. I want to answer the question about who, because I love that question. We weren't going into it as a political, you know, like we try to stay clear of politics as much as possible. A lot of the podcasts, I actually helped write the questions. So like some of the questions were like, what song's on your playlist? What do you listen to when you're in shower? Like, you know, even like joke, I don't think they ever asked this one, but like, what do you think about the Kim, at the time it was relevant, Kim and Kanye situation? Like, you know, like just
it
wanted to
show.
It
felt like dudes hanging out.
That's what we wanted. And that's what we got.
And he is, regardless of your politics.
Yeah.
He is a master manipulator of the media, and he has hot takes, and he has posted, frankly, some of the most viral content on the internet in the last decade. I mean, I still tell people, like, when he was president, one of the most ridiculous but hilarious things that he did was when he was tweeting at Kim Jong-un and called him Lil Rocket Man.
Right? He's the funniest man on the internet.
And you're just like, dude, you're the president. Yeah. Like, please don't start World War III, but also, like, okay, you didn't start World War III. Like, that shit's pretty funny. Yeah, right. And the entertainment factor is like off the charts. And so that's what
the debates in 2016 and the ones again in 2020. Like,
and so that's what it felt like.
Just great content.
It felt like you guys were there hanging out with him and firing questions that he never gets asked. Yeah. Right. And like, I mean, I want to almost go as far as to say, like, it looked like everyone was enjoying it. Like, he was having fun.
We had the best time.
And the guys were having fun too.
Yeah. We had the best time. And I'll be, you know, again, like, I just try to steer clear of politics, but I could just say one thing about him. He was so cool to us. Like, he was so kind. Like, even when the cameras were off, he was just like welcoming and making sure we got everything we needed. And then we've ran into him twice since. We ran into him at his golf course in LA, and then we ran into him at a LIV golf tournament in New Jersey. Same thing, like every time he's giving us a hugs and like asking us how we're doing. He actually I saw him a couple months after I got married in June, and he said, hey, I heard you got married, congratulations. And he actually sent a letter to like me and Renee and like congratulating us on our wedding. And like, yeah, just like, you just like, that's why it's hard for me to like just be around any negativity. But also, like, I'll be honest, like, I'm also not a Joe Biden hater either. Like, at the end of the day, the man's the president of our country. You know, he has serviced the country for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he was elected president, and, you know, his age might be his only one of maybe a major flaw, but like, that's not his fault. Like, we still voted him in, you know? So it's like,
I think there's a lot of people who wish that they were operational at his age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm actually sometimes impressed. I mean, sometimes it's funny, right? Yeah. Some of these clips where you're just like reading and it's like completely like, you know, but it's like, you know, what can we do with politics? You know, I just laugh. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing you and I can do to change anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can go and vote and our vote counts, but that's about all we can do, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, so now I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
I think that's the other thing.
It's great entertainment.
Everything that is seen through the portal of your phone or your computer has become entertainment. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Yeah. But like, I think that gets lost a lot of times because people take so much so seriously. Yeah, but like, if there's one thing that we've learned is that if you're entertaining and you can hold people's attention, you're charismatic or whatever, you win, right? Yeah. You win in politics, you win in business, you win in all these different facets. And I think that is one thing that the younger generation has an advantage on. It's like, they grew up with the phone in their hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like they understand that, it's the life is a movie, And that's how they live their lives.
Yeah. You were asking earlier about who on Full Send Podcast. I think one of the things, so had Elon, have had Trump, I've had Dana White, who I, admire, Mike Tyson. Dave Portnoy, which I think is probably one of the most underrated entrepreneurs of our time. But
I can't say anything nice about Dave because in a recent episode, I called him a pioneer of the digital media age. And I'm just waiting for him to find that clip and then go and celebrate. So he's incredible in terms of what he's done. I think people don't give him the credit he deserves for a 20-year run doing it too, right? It's not like you just show up on the scene for 2 years.
I think he's the I would put him in top five greatest entrepreneur in the world of sports. You know, like when you're making that list of like the greatest entrepreneurs in the world of sports, and you take out all the sport owners, you know, the Jerry Joneses and Al Davis and all them, take all those guys out. But sport entrepreneurs, like I would put them in top five.
All time?
Of our time. Of our time, yeah. Yeah, I don't know who was doing stuff in the 70s and 80s, but of our time, I would say.
Who else is up there? Ruben?
Ruben, 100% Ruben.
I mean, just those two guys.
Dana White.
Right? Yeah, Dana White. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's probably like five or six people you could come up with that you're like, man, they've built what is hundreds of millions or billions of dollars of enterprise value, specifically at the intersection of media, business, whatever, and sports.
Yeah.
And they've done it really redefining what sport is or how it's covered or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that is the definition of a pioneer, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would say Mark Cuban too. Mark Cuban. Obviously he owns the Mavs, but outside of Mavericks, he's done quite a bit as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think those, you know, with guests going back, I want to try to answer that question again, because I think about it all the time, who else and what's the direction of the podcast? I think different creators or celebrities or whatever who actually have products. Like I also think Full Send Podcast could be a platform for someone who's got their own happy dad or whatever and come and talk about the business with the boys, because that's the one thing with Kyle, especially, who's the main host of the podcast. It's his podcast, and you know, he really understands, he's very hands-on with the business of Happy Dad. So like, let's just say, like I was just talking to Kevin Hart's partner in the tequila, and we were talking about how to get Kevin on and what would they talk about. You know, Kevin doesn't really know the Nelk boys all that well, and you know, so
That would not be a funny episode at all.
I know. I can't wait. You know, it's going to be some one-liners in that one. But I think...
Who's taller?
Yeah. But no, I think talking about like his tequila, you know, and like the business, you know, the stuff that we opened up this podcast with and talking about is like the business behind, you know, like his tequila. I need to try it. I haven't tried it yet, but everyone that's talked about his tequila, has talked about it's a 10 out of 10 product. It's because it's on the higher end of the tequila. Like he's not going after like the lower, lower end, like it's a higher price point tequila, but it's like, you know, we share distributors, and our distributors, like when I was just randomly, I'll ask him like, how's Kevin Hart's tequila? They're like crushing it, absolutely crushing it. So is it crushing? I know it's not crushing because of Kevin Hart. He's got the right partners. Now, Kevin Hart's got a crazy platform and like, and what he's doing, it's helping, but it starts with your partners. And like he went and found the right partner. This guy, James, who's awesome. And then James went and got the right product made, you know, and then they went, and I know they, the distributors that they use, the same ones we use.
Great.
A+. And then now Kevin's got this platform, and now he's grinding as well and all the time. So it's like, you know, there's so many different parts to building a, you know, a creator product, which what Kevin's tequila is. I think like getting guests like that to talk about that, like, or another one that I think is a very underrated business because he has so much potential. I was actually talking to him this morning about his David Dobrik and his pizza place. You know, one might look at it as like, wait, it's just one location off Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, that location's less than 6 months old. Like, wait until you see what he does with this over the next few years. The opportunities of growing it into multiple cities, maybe franchising it. Maybe you see the frozen pizzas in Costco's. You know what I mean? Like David Dobrik has a $1 billion business right in, you know, in his hands, you know?
Yeah. What was fascinating to me is that all of these brands are the equivalent of, as a kid, when we grew up, like CC's Pizza. Nobody knew what the hell CC's was, right? It was just like you went to a place, you liked it, you kept coming back. But now what ends up happening is somebody like a David Dobrik can open a pizza place, and he's done the marketing for years. He's already built the fan base. He's done all this stuff. And it is the like athlete endorsement type model. Now it's just these people are realizing like own the business, own it. Yeah, right?
They own it.
And it then begs the question, like, the Nelk boys, are they creators or are they entrepreneurs, right? Kevin Hart, is he a movie star? Is he a comedian? Is he a entrepreneur? Like,
I would say entrepreneur.
I think that they all fall under that entrepreneur.
Entrepreneurs that just happen to create, you know, different than you and I. You know what I mean? Like, You know, we're businessmen, but we also know how to create, but in different ways. You know, mm-hmm. we know how to go on podcasts and speak well. They know mm-hmm. how to create. Kevin Hart knows how to create in front of a live audience telling jokes, or mm-hmm. Noteboys know how to create great content that'll go viral on YouTube and the internet, mm-hmm. you know, just in different ways. But
how do you think about how big Happy Dad is? Like, in terms of, are there numbers that you guys have shared publicly in terms of like how big that business actually is?
It's very big, but what's crazy is, you know, when I say we're 2 years old, we right now we're only, as of now,
yep.
in March 2023, we're in 16 states only. Okay. And in those 16 states we have less than 10% penetration. We're not in every single store yet in those 16 states, but when you look at the Nielsen charts, that's public to anyone who wants to go look or subscribe, however way you want to get access to Nielsen, is we're moving up on the charts in so many different parts of America. Mm-hmm. You know, we're top 10 everywhere that we're available, but in some regions and some stores we're a top 3, you know,
top 3 alcohol brand, top 3
seltzer. So okay. White Claw is number 1 mm-hmm. by a landslide. Mm-hmm. Truly's number 2. Mm-hmm. And 3, 4, 5 have always been kind of a battle between Vizzy, Bud Light Seltzer, depending on your region, there's a lot of local ones. Mm-hmm. Like in Southern California there's one called Ashland. You know, there's never been a solid number 3, and mm-hmm. we've, in a lot of territories, we've taken that number 3 and we've kind of locked, Topo Chico is mm-hmm. was a big one. That's actually was number 3 in a lot of slots. That's owned by Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. But we've, in a lot of areas, we've locked in that number 3. So mm-hmm. now, cause like White Claw's got number 1 locked. Mm-hmm.
And for now.
For now. Yeah. For now. Yeah. But they're also got many years ahead of us. Yeah, I mean, White Claw's, I would say like 6 years old, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit older. Then Truly's got number 2 locked. You know, but we wanted to lock number 3, and now we're locking number 3 in a lot of regions. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's only in the 16 states. We're launching 5 more states. We're launching Canada. Mm-hmm. Canada's a big market for our content consumption, and then also like what we're also now looking at is like different audiences at different sectors of consumers. Mm-hmm. We know if you're 25 to 30 years old, you've heard of Happy Dad, you've tried Happy Dad if it's available in your state. But now we're looking at a male, if you're 25 to 30 year old male. Now we're looking at, okay, how do we hit the female market? How do mm-hmm. we hit the Latino market? How mm-hmm. do we hit the black market? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we hit, you know, these other markets outside of
our— just take all the demographics, whether it's race, gender, sex, whatever you can do, and just cut through every single one of them.
Yeah, what do we have to do?
How do we keep penetrating all these different demographics?
So I'll give an example of the female market. Is one is, it's not a day where a different female's coming up to me. It's like, well, why Happy Dad? Why aren't you doing Happy Mom? I've been mm-hmm. hearing that for almost 2 years, you know? So—
great idea.
Yeah, great idea. So we're doing Happy Mom.
And it'll be similar type of product and just different branding?
It's the same product, just different flavor. And we said, okay, so instead of 10 men taste testing the flavors, which is what we've been doing the last couple of years with our existing flavors, let's get 10 females, mm-hmm. women who work for us, women within our world, in the industry. My wife, she came in on it.
I was going to say, Renee won?
Yeah, Renee's won.
So no pressure.
Ten of them, they all had to be honest. But if anyone's going to be honest, it's going to be her. But the 10 of them came together and they came up with the flavor together. So you know, it's like, all right, cool. So the brandy's there. Mm-hmm. The flavor's there. 10 women love this flavor. And that's going to be the first flavor as Happy Mom. So now we're going after the female market.
And how do you think about the audience being 80, 90% male, right? Whatever it is, being able to crack into that other side of maybe now it's not just the content drives it, right? Like, is it now something where Happy Dad can like be bigger than Nelk? Can it escape, you know, kind of being, hey, there's this group on YouTube who has a big audience mm-hmm. and like, that's why Happy Dad is successful. And eventually people just say like, no, Happy Dad is like a successful seltzer that survives on its own, even if Nelk never uploaded another video.
Hey guys, I hope that you're enjoying this conversation. As you probably realize, we don't run any ads on this show. That's right. All the other podcasts, all the other YouTube shows that you watch, they have advertisers. We don't have any direct relationships with advertisers, and we simply create this because we enjoy doing it.
Now that we do that though, we have a team. And if you'd like to support us, one way you can do that is to go subscribe to The Pomp Letter. It's a daily letter that I write to about 235,000 people about my personal opinion on financial markets, business, technology, and Bitcoin. Just go to pompletter.com and you can sign up there. I'd love to have you join us. And it's a great, easy way to support the work that the team and I are doing on a daily basis. All right, let's get back into this conversation.
I think it's become bigger than Nelk, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. Okay. I know just from experience. This one's a small one, but this one happened. But this has happened once with one person, so I can't really tell. But I have another example. Kyle, who's the creator of the Nelk Boys, he main face of Nelk Boys, him and Steve. But Kyle was on a flight. He's wearing a Happy Dad hoodie. A guy next to him, sitting next to him, says, "Hey, love your hoodie, man. I love Happy Dad." And Kyle's like, "Oh, cool." He's like, "Thank you, shit. I'm sitting next to a fan. This is going to be a brutal flight."
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy's just talking about Happy Dad, this and that. And at the end of the flight, the guy's just like, "Hey, what's your name?" He's like, "Kyle." He's like, "I'm so-and-so." Kyle's like, "Wow, this guy doesn't even know who I am." Like, he had no idea the guy who Kyle was.
Wow. But
he was talking about Happy Dad and, you know, was talking about why he likes Happy Dad and this and that. And I don't know if Kyle ever revealed who he was.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
just like, this was crazy. Like, this guy had no idea. So that's one. But this other one is a bigger example is we did a test run in Costco.
Okay.
So Costco, Northern California called us. They said, "We want to test Happy Dad." We want to test it in 9 locations. And usually a product, when you want to get into Costco, you'll make a bigger product because Costco always likes the lowest price. Mm-hmm. So you want to give them, but they look at per unit price. So that's why most people make like larger club packages mm-hmm. for Costco. So you get maximum dollar, but at a cheaper visual price point. We weren't ready to do that. We only have a 12 pack available. Mm-hmm. So we were like, "All right, well, you're just gonna have to sell the 12 pack for now. It's gonna take us some time to make a 24 or 36 pack." I think we decided to make a 24 now. But so we gave them the 12 packs. They tested 9 stores in Northern California. The product got shipped out earlier than we knew. So it got delivered to the Costco stores a whole week before. We had this whole marketing plan in place.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the marketing plan is like, we're going to tell people to go buy it. Yeah. We're going to show up.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. We're like, going to do all this stuff.
We'll sell out for sure.
Yeah, yeah. We got to impress Costco. Yeah. We got to show them how fast we move. The product got there a whole week before. We didn't know. And people are messaging us, like, "Hey, just saw you at Costco." And I'm like, "What do you mean? Like, we're not supposed to be there till next week, Thursday." But it was a whole week, Thursday before. Calling some of our partners, they're like, "Yeah." So by the time we got some answers, it was like now Monday by the time we got answers. And I'm like, "Well, we got to like implement this thing. I don't want Costco to think we're a flop." They're like, "You're sold out, all 9 Costcos." I said, "What? We never promoted. Look at our socials. We never promoted available in Costco. No one posted on social media." And one thing, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, our audience is 25-year-olds and up, 25 to 30-year-olds in Northern California. Northern California is not a big market for us. And 25-year-olds aren't really going to Costco to shop.
Yep, yep.
So it's not our even audience.
How much of this is like Prime? I don't know if the numbers leaked or somebody reported them, but the Prime drink, I think they did like $250 million last year in revenue. And I've talked to a couple of friends who have kids that are, you know, kind of like 8 to maybe 15 years old. And they're like, "My kid can't find it. My kid, you know," if there's a gas station locally that has it, like they all spread the word very quickly and they go and they pick it up. And some of them are even reselling it at school for a premium and like all this kind of stuff, right? Like, how much of that is baked into what you guys have done with Happy Dad when I see people, you know, in a line down the street and it's like, "Look, we want to sell out," but like there is this scarcity element of it that drives people to go to run over to Costco and buy it out because it's not widely available in Northern California, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we are available in Northern California. Mm-hmm. The Costco one was a whole different audience that gave Happy Dad a try, whether it was older guys. So I'd love to talk about Prime in a second, what you were talking about their numbers, but with Happy Dad, so the neighborhood I live in is all, you're not going to find an adult under the age of 35. It's like younger families, 35 to 50 year olds live in my neighborhood. I've made a mandate, like we have 3 grocery stores in my neighborhood and we have like 5 different bars And I've told our team, hey, listen, like everywhere in my city, and I live in a smaller city, 20,000 people, every location that sells alcohol in my city, you got to do me a favor and make sure we're stocked up. Like, mm-hmm. I got to see it. Like, I don't want to go to my Albertsons or my Stater Brothers mm-hmm. or even my Selma's Pizza, the pizza place, or Board and Brew, my sandwich place, and not see Happy Dad. So they made it. They're like, all right. And literally I said it because me, but also like, I think this audience is 35-year-old to 50-year-old men. You know, what are they're all dads. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they see a product called Happy Dad. And I think that's what happened in Costco. Like Happy Dad.
That sounds
I'm
cool.
I'm a Happy Dad. You know, I'm here to buy a bunch of tri-tip. Like I'm a Happy Dad. My wife let me out of the house. So I think people were, you know, the marketing of that is now mm-hmm. getting the 35-year-old to 50-year-old men, whether they're people living in my neighborhood or going to Costco, the Costco shoppers. But the products would be great because mm-hmm. somebody went back and bought it again. You know, like mm-hmm. somebody went and said, hey, let me give this a try. You know, bought 12 of them, maybe took them out in a day or two and went back that Sunday or Monday and bought more. So the rebuys are really important. Going back to what we opened up and talked about was the products got to be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's, so the scarcity of it, I think maybe helped a little bit in the very beginning, but now it's the actual product and hitting different audiences.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about genders, ethnicities, age groups, mm-hmm. you know, like a NELK audience pretty much caps at like 31, 32 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like probably the oldest, you know. So, you know, how do I get the 32 to 50 year old to drink, mm-hmm. you know, or 60 year old to drink?
And what about Prime? Like, what do you guys think about that?
Someone asked me this morning, actually, do you think those numbers are real? I think so. Like, I think you gotta remember one thing, Prime. One thing I do hate is when people compare us to Prime, which happens sometimes on social media. I don't even know why I read social media, but on social media, like, you know, Prime's doing 250 million. Like, show us your numbers. Like, no, ours is not that, you know, like, but we're also in 16 states only. But I do believe that Prime's doing that because not only are they available in all states, but they're also absolutely massive in the UK. Like KSI, like,
is he a sleeper? Like in terms of for Americans, like he's that guy in the UK.
I don't think people know how big KSI is in the UK. Like he's like borderline royalty out there. Like they love KSI out in the UK. So you got that strategic partner. Mm-hmm. In Europe, then you have Logan here, and mm-hmm. then like Logan's genius marketing, right? It's like there's not a place where he's not holding up the bottle mm-hmm. and making sure it's the bottle's getting as many impressions. But also, like, you know, I've got a lot of all my friends, you know, I was telling you before we even got started, like all my boys back home, like my best friends are, there's a group of 10 of us from high school, 20 something years later, we're all still best friends. Most of them have kids. Whenever they're coming over at a Super Bowl party, all the kids, Uncle John, do you have Prime? You know, dads are drinking Happy Dad, but Uncle John, do you have Prime? And Logan always sends me cases to my house. So I'm always like giving the kids Prime. And now they want to come back. We want to go to Uncle John's house. He has Prime. These are kids between eight and 13 years old.
Yeah. And is it like just basically replacing Gatorade for them?
Think so.
Like, you know, you and I probably grew up and it was like the Michael Jordan commercials and Gatorade. And all this. I remember when Powerade came, you kind of like,
I think it's what you just said. I think it's Gatorade combined with Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan, it was cool to wear. Michael mm-hmm. Jordan because of Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan mm-hmm. was so cool to kids back then. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Logan is. Logan is really cool to kids these days. So mm-hmm. he really appeals to the 8 to 13 to, you know, teens. You know, teens of all ages, you know, mm-hmm. people, they love Logan. Obviously, a lot of people hate Logan and Jake, you know. But also during the world of combat sports, you're supposed to have people who hate you. That's why people are buying these pay-per-views and they're making gazillions of dollars with the pay-per-views. So, but kids love Logan Paul. Kids love Jake Paul. I know because I see it myself with all my friends' kids. So that's why I think those numbers are real. And I think, I think this is what, maybe their second full year too. Like I think they're about as old as I remember. I think we're around the same age. Just Happy mm-hmm. Dad maybe started a little bit later, but they're murdering it.
I want to talk about a couple other things, but on the like, I'll call it the NELK business. You also have, as you mentioned, other podcasts. You guys have other products. I know that you guys have talked about doing some sort of jerky product. You guys are obviously still doing merch. I've heard numbers that are like mid 8 figures on the merch in a year. Like this is like a big business. Mm-hmm. What is the structure of this? Is this like a bunch of different businesses and each one has kind of different partners and equity splits or whatever? Is there like a, it all rolls up and there's kind of like a holding company and people would think of it almost like a conglomerate? Like when you put on like the business hat, how do you think about the way you all have built this? And some of it may be intentional and some of it, you know, sometimes you're just moving so fast that like, you're like, oh dude, it's a complete mess. We got to fix it, right? But like, is it comparable to the conglomerates of like yesteryear that people would be familiar with in like public companies or even private conglomerates, or is it look different from that?
Well, I think it's so I'll break down the entire structure. There's three companies. There's Happy Dad LLC, the beverage, consumer goods, food product. I'm gonna get to that and the kind of the real vision behind the direction where Happy Dad's going. There's Full Send, which is milk, Full Send, Content House, but also merch. Mm-hmm. Those eight figures that you've heard has been underneath the Full Send milk umbrella. And then there's Shots Podcast Network, which is my formerly known as Shot Studios, became a podcast network during COVID, you know, when we had to pretty much shut down the studios and couldn't really have production. We pivoted the whole business into podcasting. And those three pretty much ran by me, my brother Sam, and Kyle. So Kyle's now a partner in Shots as well. Mm-hmm. And Steve will do it. Mm-hmm. And so let's go backwards. So Shots is just a network. Shots is got the relationships with all the platforms. Mm-hmm. Shots is pretty much, I mean, 14 years of me doing YouTube. Mm-hmm. So there's Shots. Then there's Full Send, which is really the merch teams from mm-hmm. Full Send Golf, Full Send Fitness, all the different collabs Full Send does, and then even powering Happy Dad merch. Mm-hmm. But then there's Happy Dad. The way we see Happy Dad is, you know, it's not the same as, like we don't see ourselves as like the next Budweiser. Definitely not the next Truly or White Claw. I think it's much bigger than that. I see it as the next PepsiCo is mm-hmm. what I see it. Like I when I want to model the Happy Dad company, I think of the PepsiCo model. Pepsi owns Pepsi and all the different Pepsi products, Mountain Dew, different variations of Pepsi. Pepsi also owns Frito-Lay. Mm-hmm. Pepsi also owns Gatorade. Mm-hmm. Pepsi owns a bunch of different water companies, including Aquafina. So they're in the beverage and they're in the you know, consumer goods product world. Up until recently, Pepsi owned Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, mm-hmm. KFC, Long John Silver's. And that's kind of the model with Happy Dad is, you know, we have Happy Dad. Happy Dad's the number one priority when it comes to consumer goods. But what more can Happy Dad do? We have these teams that are walking through these stores. They're merchandising. They're building these displays. They're developing relationships with store owners, store managers, buyers, everybody, mm-hmm. you know. So while we're doing that, and we have our own staff that's internal. So we didn't subcontract out. We don't use a third-party distributor for this. We use third-party distributors to distribute the alcohol, but not to go actually build the relationships. We own those relationships. Mm-hmm. They're Happy Dad employees. They have happydad.com emails. So while we're doing that, what more can we do? Mm-hmm. That's where the idea of beef jerky came in. Mm-hmm. It was presented to me about a year ago. Just somebody just cold emailed me and just said, hey, like, I've got a beef jerky company. Would love to see if there's something we can do together. I live in Orange County. We're in Orange County. And I said, hey, stop by the office. Let me give it a try. Bring some samples. Tried it. I was like, wow, this is really good. You know, shout out to this guy, but Ahmad, but the branding wasn't there though. I was like, listen, like, I don't think anyone's gonna buy that, but you've done the most hardest part. You've made a great product. Mm-hmm. Let me help you with the branding. I'll come up with something and let me help you with the distribution. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We rebranded it. During the time we had bought a bunch of Bored Apes. Mm-hmm. So we said, all right, so we have four apes. Why don't we do each one of the apes? It'll be a different flavor. Mm-hmm. Call it beef jerky, Bored Jerky. And use our guys who are going into the 7-Elevens, Kroger's, independent stores, wherever, and say, hey, while we have Happy Dad, we actually have this other product as well. Mm-hmm. And it's doing this, you know, doing really great on socials. We're doing this sales wise. We're doing this, whatever, you know, their spiel is and getting that into stores. And that's kind of like going back to the Pepsi model is, all right, Pepsi has Pepsi and probably Pepsi is the number one driver of revenue for the company is the Pepsi product, but Pepsi also has Frito-Lay. What's our Frito-Lay? Mm-hmm. Beef jerky. Maybe down the road, there'll be other products. Maybe we do get into non-alcohol or other alcohol. You know, we're getting to these liquor stores. Maybe there's a spirit, maybe, you know, more. But right now, Happy Dad has a lot of work to do. And then there's, you know, our first food product that mm-hmm. we'll be distributing.
And as you do this, how much of it will be you guys ideating the actual products versus like somebody brings to you and you're like, hey, you already, you know, you nailed the product, but we can help with the branding and distribution. And more so, there's probably a lot of people who are listening who may have products. Is this something you guys are actively seeking and saying, hey, look, if you got them, come show them to us? Or
yeah, we're always, you know, it's crazy. And I know my emails are going to blow up after I say this, but I read every single email that's sent to me.
Yeah.
Every single email, I'll read it. So there's the other guys, you know, they pitched us on ATM machines, you know, and doing ATM machines. And my first instinct was, that's not food. What's that have to do with us? But now I was like, wait a minute.
Same place.
We're in a lot of bars, you know, like we could, what if we made Happy Dad? What if you skinned it as a Happy Dad ATM machine? And now it's another point of sale item inside that bar, right? Because mm-hmm. maybe someone didn't know Happy Dad's available there and they went to order Jack and Coke, but they needed to go get cash from the ATM machine. They see Happy Dad logo there. They come back and like, hey, you guys have Happy Dad here? Oh yeah, we do. You know, like, you know, they're just not, you know, because people aren't, we're less than 2 years old. They're not programmed to go to their bar and think to order a Happy Dad yet. So how do we program point of sale items? Well, point of sale, we've got coasters that we make available to all the different bars and other on-premise locations. We have neon signs available upon request. We have napkins. We give the staff all the different merch. But like, maybe the ATM machine is like, that's a pretty big piece of real estate inside that that location. So you know, I'm always looking at different things people send. We'll come up with ideas ourselves. You know, many of the flavor idea of Happy Mom, or it's another one that we're coming out with early April with a very big partner. It's gonna be a big surprise, but a big partner first week of April, and then. You know, so those are all like the flavors and the ideas of the partnerships were all stuff that came in internally, but then people pitch. So I would say it's like 50-50. It's whatever. I mean, whatever makes sense. We're not going to just do anything. You know, we do get pitched a lot of dumb stuff as well, you know, but if it makes sense and it's something that we could be helpful and doesn't distract us from what we're currently doing, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Steve. I'm not as familiar with all of the controversy, but it sounds like from a couple of videos I've seen recently, he's not allowed in the YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or they'll get taken down. I guess kind of what's happened there, and especially for our audience who they're not going to be up on the latest, you know, kind of details of Nelk and the content. Like, how would you describe Steve as part of the group? And then it almost seems like he's kind of been banished off of YouTube.
Yeah. Well, as far as part of the group, it's very simple. Steve is a partner in everything we do. Steve is a very close friend. I would even say to me, a brother. You know, I mean, he's part of our group and pretty much will be part of our group for the rest of our lives. So he's part of us. And that'll, you know, with or without whatever platform, that's never going to change. But, you know, it's very unclear. So when I was going back and we were talking about the Elon thing that Monday, when we were supposed to get with Elon, when we landed, we were told that Steve's channel was permanently banned, and it just kind of sucked the soul out of all of us when that happened. And
do you like tell Elon, like, yo, Steve will do his channel got banned, and then he's like, Steve will do what?
Yeah. Well, no, because at that same time, Elon had also said that I guess someone had. Steve loves Elon to this day. If you go down his Twitter, he's retweeting every single thing Elon says.
Okay.
And there was one time he made just this joke video when Bitcoin had crashed, and you know, it came out that like Elon sold all his Bitcoin and Bitcoin crashed and Steve like lost a lot of money. So he made an anti-Elon video once as a joke. You know, the problem with the biggest problem Steve will do it has, and I think this is what's led to Steve's termination of his YouTube, is people can't tell that he's joking. Like, they can't tell his jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if this is the best analogy, but I used this analogy once. I was like, it's like if a woman, like if you see a teacher, like out there, she's dressing not like a teacher, but like mm-hmm. maybe like, mm-hmm. you know, she looks like she's like an exotic dancer. Mm-hmm. And you're like, dude, why is she dressed like that? She's a teacher. She's mm-hmm. not supposed to dress like that. But then like if you see a girl that you know, she, you know, she works at Tootsie's and she's mm-hmm. dressed the same way that teacher was, you're like, no, that's fine. She's a stripper. You know, like, mm-hmm. and I think that's the same thing with Steve is like, people don't know that he's a comedian. So when he says things, people are just like hit so off guard. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. why did he say that? Like, no, he's a comedian. Steve is a funny, funny guy. So if you're not watching all those content, you don't get it. So if you're just watching a clip, you're going to be offended because he will say some stuff. But
it'd be offensive if it's just some random person on the street. But yeah. if you know a comedian said it, then maybe it'd be fine.
But if Theo Von says it, or if Tim Dillon says it, or if Dave Chappelle says it, or, you know, any stand-up comedian says it, it's like, oh, no, he's a stand-up comedian. He says that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, damn, that guy's fucking dark, you know? But no one really knows Steve as that. It's like, who is he? It's like, oh, he's some kid from Florida that blew up on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, and he said, what? You know, and I think that's what's led to mm-hmm. people say it was because of gambling. Maybe that's the reason that was used to terminate it. But I don't think that's why. I think it's because people who are taking some of the things that he said was offensive because they don't know that he's actually joking. Mm-hmm. Because if a person who has a Netflix special, stand-up comedian, would say the same thing Steve said, people would be laughing about it and mm-hmm. sharing it. So I think that's kind of what happened with Steve. But it's a blessing in disguise because after that, he did a deal with Rumble. And mm-hmm. he's got a, you know, I know it's very early with Rumble, but you know, he's like a priority to the CEO, Chris. He's like always taking care of Steve. They've become good friends. You know, Rumble's numbers have been through the roof ever since then. Steve also launched a audio only podcast as well with the video on Rumble, something very unique. And it's like helped him develop a new audience on Spotify. That's like, you know, that's now introduced to Steve Will Do It World. Now, it does hurt not being allowed on YouTube. He's launching a Snapchat show, you know, obviously with Twitter, he's good, you know, mm-hmm.
So he can't even be in the videos for like the Full Send podcast.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. If he's,
could you guys like have him, his voice, like just put him off to the corner and not put him on video?
It's just, we've thought about it. We thought about putting him, you know, maybe putting on a mask, you know.
Put him in a costume.
You know, yeah, put him in a costume. You know, we've thought of all of that.
I can only imagine what you guys have thought of.
Yeah, we've thought of it all. Maybe he's a DJ competitor to Marshmello, you know? It's mm-hmm. like just becomes the official DJ of Nelk, but no one knows who it is. We've thought of it all. And we might do that. So hopefully no one from YouTube's made it this far into this episode. But, no, the truth is, that's all joking aside, is the truth is I think life goes on and I think it's time for him to focus on other things. People love Steve when his channel was terminated in August. So it's been six, seven months. Yeah. And when he shows up for meetups, same amount of crowd, you know, mm-hmm. You know, nothing's really changed other than not having YouTube. But like, you know, with Happy Dad, he's just as important as a partner to us. You know, it's tough for me to say, I don't agree that he can't be in videos, you know, so it's just tough for me to like kind of go down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of stay mute because, the people I've talked to at YouTube about it, I don't want to say who or what, mm-hmm. what department or anything, but they've all like pretty much like said the same thing to me. It's like, we don't agree either. Like it's like a deeper group within there.
It seems weird. Like, I understand taking down the channel, right? Like, again, I don't agree with it based on what I understand he was saying or whatever, but like, okay. But to then say like, you basically ban the person from YouTube where like they can't even appear on anyone else's channel. I don't know. It seems kind of crazy.
I feel like that's being bullied because if they said, you know, and I think they're just bullying creators when they're saying that because Andrew Tate was banned from mm-hmm. YouTube as well, right? But he's on Piers Morgan's channel on Piers. So Piers is okay because he's Piers Morgan and he's part of a massive network, mm-hmm. but we're just some small creators We don't, you know, like you need that massive network because they probably spent X amount of dollars with this other department. So mm-hmm. you can't piss them off by deleting Piers Morgan's, you know, channel or video. But you don't really need anything from us, you know, yeah. so
different
we're threatened, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, you know, if like, let's just say going back to Andrew Tate, who's probably, you know, what the most hated person on the internet, maybe the most banned person on the internet. But if Andrew Tate went on Good Morning America, that'd be okay for them to air it on their channel. You go on Good Morning America 10 times, they're going to give ABC a hard time, you know? But Steve Will Do It comes on the Full Send podcast. Hey, you're going to be terminated.
Sounds like Steve Will Do It should go on Good Morning America.
Very true.
Right.
Yeah, we got to see. Actually, he was joking about that. He was like, maybe, he's like, you know, it's funny, is, he's like, maybe I should go on a Mr. Beast video. He's like, you think you can make that happen? And let's see if like they take down Mr. Beast. Oh, that's actually a genius idea. Like, let's see. Like, I yeah. doubt they would take down Mr. Beast.
I don't think that they would do that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. He said that. He said that a few weeks ago. We were in Arizona. He's like, we were talking about that. We're like, well, maybe we should put you on a Mr. Beast video.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sad. It's sad because, listen, I would be the first to admit if we did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Nelk has done, the world of Nelk, all everyone has done some dumb things here and there, but nothing that's led to the consequence of being permanently banned on yeah. the biggest social network in the world, the second biggest website in the world, without any type of warning. There was no warning, no nothing. So that's why it just kind of sucks. It's like, Steve has done a lot of dumb things, mm-hmm. a lot of dumb, publicly some, behind the scenes, a lot. And any time I've called him, I said, Steve, I wouldn't do that. Or I wouldn't, he stops.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he stops. He's moving a million miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Anytime I've called him.
How old is he?
He's 24. You know? Hey, anytime on. I've called him or his mom's called him or Sam or Kyle, anyone's that say, hey, Steve, and explain logically, not Steve, stop. Hey, Steve, don't do this because this, and that. Ah, fuck, I didn't think of it like that. John, you're so right. You know, or his mom, or his Kyle.
Imagine being a 24-year-old kid, and everything you do basically is on the internet. Imagine how much dumb things.
I can't imagine. I can't. I wasn't. Yeah, there was no. I don't even know.
Come on.
I mean, was YouTube even a thing when I was 24? I don't know.
No.
But yeah. So that's why, to me, it was like Steve is a very logical, smart guy. He's not dumb at all. He's moving a million miles an hour, but if someone slows him down and explains things to him, he stops. I know this. I talked to his mom, and I are very close, and we talk 5-6 days a week, you know, and where everyone's always in the, you know, we got this pretty much just board of directors around Steve to always protect him.
Mm-hmm.
But he listens. He's not unmanageable or anything like that. And yeah. that's the one thing he never got from YouTube was a phone call. Hey, we don't like this.
Yeah, not good.
You know, could you please not do this?
Mm-hmm.
That never happened. It just was, hey, permanently banned, no appeal, no nothing. Sorry.
Do you think it changes with Susan leaving a CEO and this guy Neil coming in, or do you think that it's kind of below CEO level?
I don't think it's a YouTube level. I think it was a Google level. I don't think it was a YouTube, because everyone that I've talked to at YouTube is like, dude, we love this. We don't agree with this. Everyone I've talked to at YouTube, I've never talked to Susan about it, but everyone else I've talked to, from, you know,
high up, down, yeah,
you know, like they've not. I don't know. Yeah. Might not even be a YouTube thing. It might even be a third party contractor that they, you know, contracted policies out to. You know, everyone does that. Twitter did that. I know that. I know damn well Twitter did that. Elon got rid of them, all of them. Yeah. But Twitter was doing that. It wasn't even a Twitter.
We had our YouTube channel deleted one time. We were on a live stream and we got done and it was deleted. And thank God I had Twitter, because I went on Twitter and I was, you know, having a field day being like, what the hell just happened? And it took a while, but I had numerous YouTube employees DM me and be like, hey, send me the information. I'll, you know, try to navigate internally. And it turns out that the official communication was like, there was a mistake made, channel's reinstated, you're fine. But the unofficial stuff was like, one person hit the delete button,
mm-hmm.
right? And like, I think to me, it was like, I don't know who the person was, I didn't wanna know, right? It's just like, look, just we got the channel back, move on, whatever. I was like, man, one employee can do that?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I mean.
And like, that's what happened to Steve.
That's what happened to Steve, you know, and don't know who. Crazy. Don't know, it was a contractor out, you know, they contracted a firm out of, in, you know, in middle of nowhere, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'll never know. But what I tell Steve is maybe things change. Maybe there could be a reinstatement. But in the meantime, build this relationship with you have at the Rumble. You know, mm-hmm. I know it's not YouTube, but they take care of you. And they're growing as well. But then also you've got everything else. You know, you have so much more. And when we walk the streets of Steve, just as many people going losing their minds when they see Steve in the streets today as they were a year ago. So nothing's really changed as far as his relevancy goes.
When you think of Full Send, Nelk, kind of the whole thing today, right? Those three companies, et cetera. How big can this get? Like, is this a thing where the aspiration is we want to build a $1 billion business, we want to build a $10 billion, $100 billion? Is it like we think we can build this and, you know, some large corporation will come in and buy us out? Mm-hmm. Like, what, like, kind of when you guys sit around in private and you think about, like, imagine if, how big are the dreams or aspirations?
You know, one thing I've never ever done is build anything in hopes of selling. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted, every business, including Shots, over Shots is 14 years old now. Happy Dad's about 2 years old. Full Send Nelk, I only joined about almost 3 years ago now. But it was, you know, it's about 10 years old, 7 years old without me. My first focus is to make it a successful, profitable business. Mm-hmm. Treat this like we're never selling and we're just going to be a profitable business. We're growing, we're innovating, you know, we're monetizing, you know, monetization. You know, monetization leads to being able to innovate, and we could create, you know, Happy Dad was self-funded mm-hmm. in the very beginning. To this day, we haven't really brought on any large investors. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we make all decisions, you know. Mm-hmm. Happy Mom, I didn't have to go get so-and-so's approval. We mm-hmm. decided. My brother and I decided, ran it by Steve and Kyle. They loved it. That's it. That's happening. You mm-hmm. know, and that's always been the philosophy. Now, how big it could become, you know, because we do have shareholders, so I sometimes have to answer that question, is I think in each one of those business itself is a several hundred million, if not $1 billion company. Mm-hmm. And then Happy Dad, the different businesses within Happy Dad, I think Happy Dad's a multi-billion dollar company.
Not thinking big enough.
Was like, that? Yeah, I think
Happy Dad could easily be 10 plus billion.
I think Happy Dad's gonna have a number of $1 billion companies within it, right? I mm-hmm. think Board Jerky itself is $1 billion company. Mm-hmm. And I think someone will just call him.
I saw The Rock with Terramana Tequila. I'm gonna mess up the numbers, but Casamigos, I think when they sold, somebody said they were doing like 180,000 cases, or that they had done 180,000, I think they sold for $1 billion. And The Rock has now sold 1 million cases.
Oh.
Right? So again, maybe the numbers are, you know, not exactly the same from a multiple basis. Yeah. Price points could be different. Profitability could be different. The economic environment's different. Like, you know, there's a whole bunch of kind of asterisks alongside that. But like Terramana is probably a multi-billion dollar business,
yeah.
right? For that audience size and engagement, I feel like not only do you guys have a very large audience, a very engaged audience, but you also have a really long runway,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, everyone loves The Rock. He's one of the most recognizable people in the world, but he's older.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you think over the next, you know, 10, 15 years, all those 21 to 28, 29-year-olds, they're eventually going to become 30 and 40-year-olds.
Yeah. We, you know, and Happy Dad, we also have partners outside of Nelk. So Drewski became a partner recently. Mm-hmm. Sugar Sean O'Malley became a partner recently. There's a partner that's coming out April 1st. I can't say who. But I'm gonna show you, and I just want you to see your reaction.
All right.
And then we'll.
All right, know. But I can't say.
You can't say. I'm just gonna show you.
Oh no.
He actually came out with the flavor idea himself too. Not yet.
Yeah, that's a grand slam. Check
out the. He came out with the flavor and the packaging.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
Like, that's a grand slam.
Yeah. So he's become a partner in the company, and we're launching our first. I don't want to say our first. Our first collab was actually, in my opinion, this, our Bored Ape mm-hmm. banana flavor. Mm-hmm. That was our first collab, but this will be our second collab, I guess you mm-hmm. would say. But yeah, that's coming out. So that's, you know, So when, now when I'm thinking happy dad, I'm like, all right, I got the, we've got these other partners. And by the way, he hits a different market. Like he's that, and that was his approach to us. Mm-hmm. He came up and said, hey, what are you doing within the Black community? It's like, I'm trying to figure it out. He's like, let me run that for you. Let me handle that part for you. Yeah. Well, I was like,
a pretty good person to do it.
Yeah. So I was like,
I'd love to have you.
You know, Mr. Mrs., you know, I'm not gonna, I guess I've said him, so yeah, we know it's a mister, but yeah, yeah, let's do it. So this was about maybe a year ago this time. It's been a year partnership in the works, and we're launching it April 1st. Okay. So but yeah, so going back to it is like, so Shots, in my opinion, several hundred million dollars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right now, it's currently actually the biggest podcast network on YouTube. Shots, wow. Shots Podcast Network is. Full Send is and can be the next Barstool Sports, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a lot of work. Don't want to ever take away anything from Portnoy. 20 plus years of grinding, so it's not like an overnight thing. But in the long run, it could be its own network for sports content, male and female focused content, both. Mm-hmm. You know, comedy, whatnot. And then there's Happy Dad, which Happy Dad, the beverage itself to me is $1 billion plus company. Mm-hmm. But then Happy Dad's going to have these other brands within it that'll also, you know, Board Jerky, in my opinion, could be $1 billion plus company itself. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's like multiple ones, but all three are very different too.
Yeah.
But they all complement each other. You know, the Full Send brand and everything Full Send brings to the table helps Happy Dad.
Yeah.
Shots Podcast Network helps bring on podcasts, and you have like the Pivot Podcast where every episode they're drinking Happy Dad, and we're partners with them now. And you know, other podcasts that we're going to bring underneath the partnership that we're going to be drinking Happy Dad in every single episode, or even some of the collabs that we're going to do. We're going to do a Pivot Podcast Happy Dad collab. Mm. You know, so they all these companies talk. They all talk.
Yeah, it's very smart.
Yeah.
Where can we send people to find you if they want to just kind of pay attention as you guys continue, or if they want to reach out? Don't give your email.
Yeah, they find my email. My email's too easy. I got to make it more complicated. No, I mean, my socials, you know, I'm just at John everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, I have at John. I don't use TikTok much, but every so often I'm on at John there. I'm at John on YouTube. So just John everywhere. But that's my personal, but I think if you really want to follow and see everything, just follow our brands. Follow Happy Dad on socials, Board Jerky, Shots, Milk Boys. You know, those are, I think, more entertaining. My personal ones, you know, I'm so focused on helping other people with their social strategy, I forget about myself, so I don't really know what I'm doing. I just throw up random stuff on my socials.
Yeah, I think you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
Awesome. Listen, thank you so much for doing this. I always enjoy talking. I don't think people quite understand just the size of what you guys have built and how fast some of the stuff's growing. So it's cool to talk to you, and hopefully it'll inspire a lot of other people to pursue
That's why I do these podcasts, man. I want every once in a while, whenever I do these, someone messages me that they were inspired or they're doing this or that. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, I don't like doing a lot of these, but I do them because I just know that there's people out there who just want to get up and get off their ass and do it. Whether launch your own podcast, start your own company, design your own merch, whatever it is, you know, like just do it, because that's been the secret to us is like, you know, when we want to do something, we do it. And we don't, like I've said before, and I'm going to say forever, we don't burn bridges. We're always thinking long term, and we have fun. We, you know, we do everything we do. Everything that we do is just fun. So that's what I'm hoping, that anyone who's listening to this will just get up and just do it.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.